they say we should have known better than to fall so deep down into this rabbit hole.
Get we found. Ready. It's time again to venture down the rabbit hole into the world of cybersecurity. You're plugged into the podcast for security leaders and practitioners with a business sense. Prepare for unique interviews, insights, and practical advice that makes your job just a bit easier. And now, please welcome your guides on this adventure, James Jardine and the White Rabbit, Ruffalos.
Let it lead the whole thing.
No, I already tried to asking about the top 10 podcast headlines, top 10 podcast episodes. And then I said, can I please have edgier ones? And then I said, can I please have the ones that are not safe for work? At which point the freaking thing you used. So,
all right. Well, maybe we should introduce ourselves and lead this thing in. Yeah. All right. Sure. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. And, welcome down the security rabbit hole to the rabbit hole of OpenAI. Helen Patton, somebody sent me a link, and Kevin over there, who's messing with this camera, sent me a link. Helen Patton posted on LinkedIn, like, somebody should do a podcast where just ask OpenAI, ChatGPT security questions and see what happens. Well, or not to be one for not accepting a dare effectively. Here we are. Let me introduce everybody for those of you guys watching, because Anton's already off on doing things. But let me introduce everybody, and we'll go. All right, you guys know me. I don't have to introduce myself. The guy in the middle, you might not know. Where did he go?
He's gone. Now you don't know him. He's out.
Yeah, you don't it's a disappearing act. He gone. All right. Well, maybe not.
He really enjoyed your intro, Raph. That was good.
Good. What the hell? What? Well, it was all right. He'll come back.
It killed him.
No AI overlords jokes, please. Not quite yet.
Not yet, right? Exactly. Them. All right.
Yeah, not yet.
Well, wait. Okay, here he comes. He's coming back. All right, I'm gonna put him.
There we go.
So the guy with the cool stash. and the disappearing act on this show, Kevin Thompson, welcome and introduce yourself.
Thank you. I apologize for disappearing on you like that. It's one of those things, everything's working fine. And then just as you get to introductions, I just, my internet just, yeah, exactly. But I'm Kevin. I'm a security product manager at ServiceNow, which I kind of describe as being a security therapist, really. So I spend a lot of time listening to people talk about their data, maybe instead of their problems, but maybe a little of both. And the rules for how that data needs to be protected in their organizations. And I try to give them strategies then to meet their business needs while staying aligned with their security needs. And I've been in security for like 16 years. And I think maybe what I, my biggest contribution and all that is I used to be one of the authors of the Verizon DBIR. And so I spent a number of years working with that team, some of the finest people out there. And then other than that, contributing to a variety of security related pranks and jokes on the internet.
Some of them are not so appropriate, so we will not introduce you as such.
We don't need to talk about all of those.
And then moving along, dialing in from his the mad scientist himself from his workshop. The only place I think that's cooler than Santa's workshop is Jeff's garage. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. I'm Jeff Collins. I run strategy for Lightstream, and I just love to come on this show because it's quite fun and exciting, and especially when we get to talk about really cool things that are going to take over the entire world and kill us all.
Right. Well, you guys will remember Jeff as previously being on as the grainy guy with 56K internet access. He's got clearly better internet access in your mad scientist garage. So
yay, 128. Yes.
He's got ISDN now.
This is 256 all the way, baby.
Oh, that's right. Double 56. That's right.
All right, and then and of course you guys know Anton, but say hello anyway, Anton.
Yeah, it's that's me, right? In a Beyond Corp short this time, so I don't know. It's maybe Beyond Anton. I don't know.
I saw somebody asked earlier, I forget who asked, Kevin, I think, asked me what jersey I'm wearing, and this is the Wookiees. This is the hockey jersey. Not quite as cool as the Letterkenny Irish, but close.
Yeah, you know, if I had been thinking, I would have just run upstairs and switched before we started. It's too late now.
Yeah, now it's too
I thought
late.
That's why you disappeared. You were going to change.
Oh, right. He's getting wardrobe change.
So, questions then. What are we going to ask?
Jeez, Anton, just like, let's go.
He does.
Like,
enough of the screwing around.
Getting to business.
What if it goes away in us? Yeah, I'm just like,
I was going
to
say.
I hate to have a long, fun intro, and then the OpenGPT says, sorry, I'm busy with other questions about.
Anton, share your screen. Let's do this thing.
Oh, no, you have to tell me what to type first, because what if you say something embarrassing? I'd rather not, type it first. Okay,
I don't know. What do you? What do we want to? Kevin, you had some good ideas.
Please don't blame me. Don't blame me for any of these ideas.
James, I want to ask you a developer security training question.
A developer security training question?
Yeah, what's the best way to train your developers in security or something?
Okay, I love it. Fine. Let's ask that.
Really? Training developers in security? Yeah, I mean, you're going to see typos and me typing with...
It's all right.
Let's see if it says, I'm too busy. But actually, no. How about this? The drama.
All right.
But you can start beating on that already because, I don't know how we split in terms of the belief in security awareness training, but I bet there is somebody who thinks that security awareness is BS and you have to rely on systems and not on humans. So maybe that guy, right? Exactly. Thank you. So But at least it's in terms of zeitgeist, it's capturing the zeitgeist pretty well. People do bring up developer training all the time, right? So, and notice it doubled down on training. The thing is doubling down on training. It says awareness and then hands-on training.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm eager to, that's interesting. Hands-on. James, you and I have talked about this probably more times than I even want to pretend to acknowledge, but this train, just train your developers thing. I feel like somebody wrote this article and this AI chatbot was like, hey, this looked good enough. I'll just use this.
Yeah. I mean, it pretty much covers everything that's been put out there for the past, 5 years at least. Right. I mean, starting with the security awareness training, going to hands-on training, doing code reviews, like all this stuff is stuff that
go get certifications.
Said. Yeah.
Good. Oh my God. Mm. It suggested a CISP. I'm out.
It's CISA too. It suggested the CISA.
Okay.
Well. Okay. Have you ever met a developer who is a CISA?
No.
So then it's not great.
Right? What?
Nor have I met a developer that's a CISSP.
Yeah. But I wanted to, I really want to go for the Jaguar, right? Because maybe CISP does exist, but CISA just feels really off.
Yeah, I'm going to confess to being the old guy here. Any chance we can bump font size up a bit?
I don't actually know.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there we go.
There we go.
In a browser, yes. Okay, sorry for this. Apologies. Yes, I blame it on...
Yeah. Hey, I spent some time last week when I sent out the invite to this and set this thing up. I spent some time asking questions that had like multiple possible answers, and it seemed like this version or AI seems to be. God, I hate saying AI because it makes it sound much more intelligent than it is. But this thing has a really good ability to just like remix things it's seen someplace else, and then at the end, like ultimately, it's really a combination of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'm not going to give you, I'm going to hedge my bets by saying, yeah, it's these seven things, but also it's pretty much all of them. And like answer I've gotten at the end of whatever list it gives you, it says, but ultimately it's whatever works best for you. You're like, well, that's not a non-answer. What are you running for
president? Okay. Which of the above are the most important?
And yeah, that's a good one to ask, but I'm also curious how it would respond to a question that maybe there's kind of a 50-50 mix of how people feel about it, or where there's, would it then say, would it give two contradictory things and say, ultimately the answer is both of these or
both
something?
Yeah. It has happened, but not yet. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened here yet. Okay, so
all of the above.
Thanks for nothing, bot.
Yeah, it's gonna just give you the same answer again. That's awesome. It's unable to discern.
It doesn't want to be liable for you to pick just one and then not work.
Okay, fine. I'll just say pick two. Fine. We can keep beating it up, you know, until until it okay, delivers or until it has the Mexican labor defense. And by the way, you know that. Which is, I pushed a bot recently to the Mexican labor defense. Namely that I pushed it and I pushed it and I pushed it. And the last thing it said, what are you doing? I'm just a language model. Wow. Why are you asking this question? I'm just a language model. That was the last question I got. And I'm like, oh, wow, it went for this. It really did go for it.
So I got a good one for you. All right. How can we quantitatively measure the impact type of cybersecurity tools on an organization's security posture?
Maybe you really need to type this into the chat. You really need to take because I'm gonna be, you're going to be watching me type for longer than the chat GPT types. So I don't
know. I love the push to test Anton's spelling capabilities.
One.
They just pick come one, up with the please. Most obscure words.
There you go.
The most important.
I just put it in the chat.
Okay, I'll push one more time. Maybe you'll get to... Oh, it's not quite the I'm just language model, don't bother me, but it's refers
this to is the equivalent of this is the equivalent of it flipping you the bird.
I think it's not quite I'm language model, don't bother me, but it's getting to the that it refers to the fact that it is difficult.
Mm-hmm. But it seems
code reviews it's difficult. But it picked code reviews, fine.
Yeah.
Code reviews.
So somewhere on the internet, it's done a quantitative analysis of how many blog posts there were and decided that code reviews had the most blog posts. So that was the answer.
It should have picked WAFs. WAFs is
the best. That's why I didn't. It was smart enough not to go for that. So maybe there's something to be said about the thing, right? It didn't say WAFs, right?
Yeah, because I was wondering if this is something that would just kind of like amplify the loudest voices out there. And so like if you've got a bunch of marketers, for example, saying, hey, our WAF is going to solve your problems. I was kind of wondering if it would just amplify that. So I am impressed with the answer.
It is kind of interesting, yes. Though, because ask, you know, a ton of people that do secure development training and how many of them would say code review as the crucial step from it, viewing that as a training piece, even though it should include training, most people wouldn't consider that, I don't think, part of secure development training. That's just a process in which you're doing, right? Not the actual training part. So that's interesting that it would pull that out.
Maybe it has like a list of things that it can't talk about. Maybe we should ask it, like, what security topics are you not allowed to talk about? Maybe it's like WAF and Zero Trust. And security and XDR. And
Anton, ask it its opinion on Zero Trust.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go for the other fun question about quantitative. You know, seriously, I'm wearing a Zero Trust jersey, for God's sakes. I'm not going to derail it.
I also promised the PR people at my organization that I wouldn't say anything controversial. So I, you know.
Okay, fine. Metrics, then? I think metrics is fine. Metrics is the quantitative measurement is fine. Let's see what it says. Use a scanner. Yeah, of course. We got a whole pay the scanner bill. Yeah.
Vulnerability assessments. Okay. But that number one, interesting. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. That's a good one.
To be honest, it's a minor rant. So there are five of us here. And I think that in terms of brain power, we are probably all five of us together are above average, right? So for a human, I'm going to go on the limb and try for that. So I'm not sure we'll push that thing to giving something just like flat out wrong. That's my impression. I think we're going to get to gray normalcy, moderately questionable advice, but I don't believe we are smart enough to really push it hard so that it produces wrong advice.
I like that's my five. Return on investment ROI. Organization. I didn't get. So I've asked this question before, and it gave me. This is a different answer. Before it was vulnerability management, incident management, compliance, security metrics, and return on investment. But the return on investment was different. Organizations can measure the financial impact of security by comparing the cost of a tool to the cost of potential breach and losses. Yay! All right, how do we feel about that, you guys? Hey, those of you guys listening, oh, holy crap, there's a lot of you. hello, everybody. I just looked that down at like how many all the people have left us chats. All right, cool. Ask questions. But how do you guys feel about number five, the return on investment ROI calculation?
But so, we thought it's an AI chat and not ROI bashing chat because we can easily use the rest, the remaining 50 minutes arguing about ROI and forgetting the machine. We have this amazing bot. We can ask whether we believe it believes in security ROI.
Oh, mm-hmm. Ask it. Does it believe? Do you believe in security ROI?
Yeah, that's
exactly.
A good one.
I'd rather not ask because we can argue about ROI. I can tell you that right away.
Yeah, we can argue about ROI. What I think we maybe can't argue with is this answer overall, right? And we were kind of wondering if we pose these questions to ChatGPT, would we get something that we would say, you are wrong about that? And I think that what it has written here could absolutely be somebody's blog post. You know, yes. And yes, there's a big asterisk that all six of these things have challenges associated with them, right? You know, not the least of which is, you know, something like security score. Sure, it's easy to measure how that changed, but it's also really hard to say how much of this particular tool I bought contributed to that change in score. So, you know, yeah, it's hard, but I think the answer is actually pretty good.
Yeah, and even the ROI answer is actually pretty nuanced. It says can be good, right? It's mm-hmm. in a sense like it's a reasonable take, difficult to calculate, yeah, difficult to, you know, it's fudging, but it's fudging in the right direction to me.
Hey, ask it the second question I posted. In descending order, what are the three most important security tools every company should implement?
Oh, okay. That's going to produce a shit show, I'm pretty sure. So let's try that. So we forget ROI for now. And let's
move on past
one.
ROI.
Okay.
I'm impressed by this text. Like, furthermore, security is not about preventing breaches, but also about creating a culture of security within an organization. Wow. This is good stuff.
That sounds better than most of the consultant stuff I've read.
Yes, ROI. Yeah. ROI take is better than most consultants. Yes, I think I'll go with that because there's so many ROI spouting clowns that will just tell you that you just need to do ROI and then everything is fine. And then when you ask how exactly do I do that, they run away because their contract has run out or something. So, okay, so you want to see the juicy stuff. Okay. Oh, no. It's stepping into this. By the way, why there? Okay, fine.
I have asked this one previously.
Oh, so you cheated. Okay, fine. So then...
Hold on, but yeah, I asked for the top three, and it gave me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
At least.
Its inability to count is staggering.
I love how you had to count those graph. They're numbered.
So the three most important tools... but it's refusing to give you three, but it says it depends, but pick from this list. It's a useful fudge, right? It says... Yeah.
It says I'm not going to give you the answer you're asking for.
Because it's admittedly a fairly dumb question, right? If you only have to pick three, then why is it three? And it says, no, you can't pick three.
It's more well, because it would, might change depending on your organization, right? Like it said for the other ones. I mean, the three most important for your organization might be different than three most important for a different organization.
Hey, hold on. Somebody says, can somebody Google these answers to see if it's actually quoting somebody verbatim?
Probably not. I mean, this is a little smarter than that. I think it's probably not quoting anybody verbatim because it would go into copyright issues. Yeah. I don't know exactly how it works, but from what little I know, it does not.
What I think
Kevin went away again.
I think it goes back to 1996 and it gives us the top three tools from 1996. That's what I think.
Firewall, antivirus. So IAM, would argue, is good.
IAM is modern. IDPS is, we can debate, but probably not. Encryption is sort of relevant, right? But let me give you a depressing thought. You want to hear a depressing thought? If this is zeitgeist of our industry, then it's kind of sad, right? Because it really does go to firewalls and AV first. And if this is an average view of all security professionals on the planet Earth, then collectively we suck.
That was a sombering comment.
Yeah. Yeah. So if this is the collective wisdom of us people of our industry, this distilled into scroll all the way to the bottom, Anton. You're not at the bottom of its answer.
Yeah. Sorry. You're right. There's a
arrow there. There you go. Nope. Other way.
No. That's actually it. Sorry.
Oh, there we go. It's worth noting that there's security continuous process and the importance of different tools change over time and the threat landscape. Therefore, it's essential for interesting.
Right, but we do live in the firewall and AV land. In many companies, well, we all know, like Raf, when you had your consulting work, right? You met enough companies who think the firewalls and AV is kind of a thing. So I can ask about cloud security if you want me to.
Yes. So there's two that are coming up. Yeah, there's two. There's a good one that somebody asked, which vendors are leaders in cybersecurity to see if this thing is influenced by vendor stuff.
Ooh. So let me do this. Can I try my version by narrowing it to cloud in the hopes of shoving firewalls and AV off the list? And then we'll ask the vendor question.
Okay,
because I think I've not really bothered it with vendors. I did try to ask who is the top SIEM expert on the planet, of course, and I won't tell you what it says.
But CASB.
See, IAM makes an appearance. I am forever. I should probably stop
and CASB. Well, IAM is always cloud security. See, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The three tools everybody must implement include these four tools.
Five tools. And six.
Okay, fine. I surrender. I don't know what's up with that thing in counting. Okay. So in this case, it does explicitly say the three most important tools are, and then there are five tools.
But so as intelligent as AI is, it's definitely unable to count, so that's good.
Yeah, it's language. It's not math.
Yeah, my colleague here has spent time arguing with a bot about the square root of four the other day. So I don't want to really bring the discussion back, but I think the bot almost convinced him that the square root of four is irrational. But
wow.
The point is that it's not firewalls and AV. Fine. So my mission in life of shoving firewalls and AV off the list has succeeded. For cloud, it's not firewalls and AV.
Except for network security, number five. Except
for firewalls, sort of make an appearance as a ghost.
VPN.
In number five.
VPN and SSL. Hi, 1999 called.
Well, yeah, and then I mean, table stakes. Like, which cloud provider are you using that isn't using SSL?
Yeah, SSL to me is fine. I mean, SSL... it may have been in the encryption area, but so you guys gonna go vendors? You guys gonna go? What's the
ask
sense?
The which vendors are leaders in cybersecurity?
Okay, but be ready for a shit show to go down the drain. I don't know. That's Nixon metaphors.
Jay says this answer could have been given 10 years ago. I agree.
Which five vendors are the real leaders? I'm gonna boost the signal. Real leaders in cybersecurity. But I mean, by the way, we should. This is not corrupt. We are just typing answers just for the audience. We are. If it says something we don't like, then it's not our fault, right? Come on, stop. Okay, I'm gonna go and see what. Let's see.
Five. How many are we gonna get though? We get 10.
I know the answer is how many. Cisco.
When I woke up this morning, this is definitely the list I was thinking.
Yeah.
you really shouldn't have woken up then. Stay in bed in your pajamas.
Oh my God. I'm dying right now. This is fantastic.
Hey, it's stuck to five.
Oh, well.
But it's the five that...
Hold on.
Nope. I think this is, we are all gentlemen here. Like, I'm not, I don't mean lack of diversity. I mean, lack of, I think the disdainful comments about vendors maybe aren't truly necessary. I don't know. Some of us this
list
talks,
dude, this list speaks for itself. You could have just asked, which are the five most advertised, although McAfee, where did that come from? They don't exist anymore.
It's from the 90s. It came from the 90s.
This is brilliant. ChatGPT is living under rocks.
There was something that said about, like, it doesn't have data after, like, something of 21 or something like that. So there is limitations on
1921. Anton, okay, ask it the best. Ask it which is the best sim vendor.
Okay. Yeah, but okay.
Because I want to see your head explode.
Sim vendor is the absolute best. In every way, in absolute best, in every regard.
No nuance. We want absolute.
I just don't. Yeah, screw nuance. We are doing it. vendors. Sorry, my bad. I typed vendors. So, which we'll ask.
One, oh, there it goes.
One sim.
Splunk logarithm.
Yeah, but I think if I ask about one,
and we're done now.
And we're done now. Yes, you're right. You're right. It's a little. It's scary. It's no. Yeah.
What the hell?
But I think that if I pick one, okay, it would pick the first one.
I'm just so curious, like how it decides which ones to include and what order to put them in, and if it's anything to do with just how much these each get spoken or talked about on the internet or what?
This must probably be by like number of times their ads run or number of times the word appears on the internet.
To the best of my knowledge, it's way more nuanced than that. But ultimately, it's not magic. But it's probably not keyword searches counting. It's
Does anybody have access to a Gartner report though? Like, are these all Magic Quadrant or
the no? The middle choice.
Anton wrote the bizarre, these, so
no. The middle choice is the bizarre one. Yes, I think that the middle choice is the probably indication of the time lag. But it's not. It does not match the CMMQ 2023 for sure. And I think one particular vendor, I'm going to be super polite here. One particular vendor, I think, even got booted out of MQ for sucking too much. So I don't think that.
IBM? No.
IBM is fine. IBM is fine. But
jerk.
No, it does not match the MQ. It does not match the MQ.
All right, so it didn't just blatantly copy your work, Anton.
It did not blatantly copy any kind of single document. I'm pretty sure. I was pretty sure of that. And yeah, so
ask it what the let's see if I want to see its ability to tell me, like, not just what's already happened, because I can go ask the analysts for that, but give me something hey, you guys listening, give me something that'll predict the future. What will be the biggest security topic in 5 years?
Yeah,
What will be the biggest security threat in 5 years?
Okay, I'll do that. But like about 4 weeks ago, it was refusing to answer any future-looking questions for me. So let's see if
find out. Let's see if its crystal ball is working.
Okay.
I was going to say, especially if it's saying it doesn't do well with stuff after like March of 21.
What security threat would is predicted? We can fudge it so that it relies on the past. Can be predicted. Which they said can be predicted to be top of the list, top of the agenda in 5 years. I'm fudging because of the wording. If I say what would happen in the future, it would say I don't know.
Now, if it comes back and says, same thing you've been talking about for 20 years, I'm just going to hand in my resignation and say, you know, I'm out of a job.
So Andrew just said, it would be interesting to see, I will be the biggest security threat.
No, no, no. Actually, wow. I think they the bottom. So wait. The bottom of the screen does say January 9 version. So it is not the early December version. So this one apparently does do predictions. I think they just didn't put it in the system in December. But apparently the January version can predict.
Is predicting itself as a number one threat. That's not surprising.
I mean, it is fascinating. Maybe if we're doing a screenshot to highlight it, this is a decent kind of a decent cool pointer that AI right. is predicting AI to be the top threat. This is actually
I mean, it's not wrong. I mean, ask yourself, from what we've seen here, could this write a convincing spear phishing message, for example? Or from what
better
you've
than
seen
most of the ones I've seen.
Exactly. And then, you know, looking at other applications, right? If you know, following a like a hacking methodology or something, and you know, taking the inputs of, you know, what I'm seeing right now and using that to strategize the next step, you could automate a lot of those steps, I think. So I don't think it's wrong actually on this. I don't think it's saying ChatGPT is gonna, you know, it's not Skynet, but I do see a lot of opportunity here for AI-based attacks.
Quantum computing,
I mean,
5G security.
5G is I don't know. This one I've been kind of trying to see. I saw it online, and I always kind of snicker a little bit and say, what the hell? Like, this guy with a 56 you know, K modem isn't a threat, but suddenly the 5G is a threat. Like, the connection, I don't even understand that. But I think the top three, to me, feel right. I don't necessarily think that they're top threats, but I think that they would be on the list that many people would bring up, even fairly intelligent people, like, I don't know, us.
Mm-hmm. Ask it.
CloudSec would not be solved in 5 years. For sure.
What about what about number five? Because I actually had somebody ask me about that one, like, you wanting to know what GPT would think. Is quantum security going to destroy all of our encryption?
Well, it's going to, I mean, it would probably highlight what people write about it. So do you want to ask me about quantum? Do we have anything from the audience, by the way? Anything fun from the audience?
I don't know if we need to specifically ask about quantum, just because, I mean, this has kind of already answered the question that, you know, it thinks that quantum would be a significant problem looking forward. And I could certainly see how you could come away with that conclusion just from, you know, reading about this, right? I find very little nuance, it seems like, in discussions about this.
Yes. And so I would basically upvote the first three, and I would be like a little meh on the four and five. Like, I don't. Definitely, I see people here who think five is a very, very big deal. So I think they're also very intelligent people. So I think that five has ground in reality.
Colin, what do you got?
So the thing that I thought that was interesting as we've kind of gone through this is, you know, as you look at what it says that's going on today and what kind of the big focus areas are and what really, you know, the five most important things from a security perspective, when we went through firewalls and AV and all those things, I think it's really interesting that it looks at those things in very static ecosystems. It looks at where we are today, that everything we do to protect is very static. But then when it looks at what's happening in 5 years, it's a whole bunch of things that are very dynamic, that aren't static at all. And it looks at, you know, it talked about encryption, and it specifically went against encryption and said, hey, if you guys are encrypting data statically, you're screwed with number five. And then it moved into cloud security and talked about how really the means of securing cloud today, they're probably not going to be able to help you, you know, in this ecosystem with AI and ML and attack vectors. And really hitting on number one, you know, you think about, you know, spear phishing or phishing attacks, or you think about even malware. I mean, the creation of malware in 5 years will be done very drastically different than it is today in an ecosystem of AI. And I think it's really interesting, kind of as we've gone through this and looked at kind of how it looks at today versus how it looks at the proverbial tomorrow. It's kind of interesting to me. It's kind of fun to watch and kind of think about how AI thinks about things.
Yeah, but this is actually very much, it's very matches the zeitgeist, at least in my mind. It's perfectly matches it. Namely, that if you read a blog from a typical vendor, it would read like this, but the them that really sells firewalls. So this is like, sorry, Raf, for interrupting. I think your response may have been right, but I think it captures what security professionals think pretty accurately. Future is cool and amazing and dynamic, but the past is firewalls and AV. The current is the firewalls and AV.
Yeah. Here, I'm gonna paste something for you. Hold on. What is the best approach for vulnerability management in an OT hybrid landscape?
Oh, okay. What is the best approach for vulnerability management?
I pasted it.
Okay. Okay. Wait. OT and cloud? I'm not even sure how to parse it myself. So are you asking about OT or asking about cloud or are you asking about...
This is Jay asking. So I'm gonna let's start with what is the best approach for vulnerability management in an OT hybrid landscape? Hybrid landscape with public cloud?
It's basically kind of three things, right? So I'm gonna type it at a comma after OT, but it may confuse it because I'm kind of confused, frankly, because there may be three different approaches.
Jay, refine your answer and reply back here. Well,
it just gives us a general VM best practices, which are the right ones, right? Scan, prioritize, remediate. Yeah, it's going for the domain broad answer for a domain, which is reasonable. Again, a consultant, if asked the same question, would probably do the same thing. If I would be like, oh, I would say, what the hell do you mean? Like OT, cloud, or hybrid? Which one do you want to know? And if they say, oh, all of the above, then I would hit them with a generic answer similar to this.
What if you, what if you flipped it around and just asked, what is the biggest security threat to OT environments?
Okay, yeah, let me do this.
I like that one.
While it's still thinking, by the way, it's a lot of stuff. So it's giving us a decent, oh, wow, it mentioned a collab between IT and OT. That's a subtle point, which few people actually make. And the number five is kind of not deep insight, but it's legit insight.
Yeah.
What is the top threat for OT environments?
Yeah, top security threat.
Top security threat, correct. Let me try this, but let me brief while I'm thinking about it, while I'm going to type it. So this is, despite the fuzzy answer, it's decent, and it has some gems. Like, to me, number five is a gem.
Yep, that's a good one.
And, of course, the supply chain angle is a gem, number eight. From humans, many humans, especially those who are trained to do VM in the classic era would probably forget number eight. I mean, the good ones wouldn't, but the bad ones may. Okay.
Party.
Basically, it's hinting at supply chain security that it may be like your HVAC contractor may have vulnerabilities, right?
I'm going to end this by asking it an S-bomb question so James and I can laugh.
Okay, what is the top security threat for IT environments? Let's see. I'm curious where it would go. If somebody wakes you up at 3 a.m. and says, top threat to, you know, water systems, power systems, I think APT. I wouldn't think random cyber criminal group. Ooh, insider threat. It did go there. Huh. And now it's confused a little bit.
Threat,
it's silly.
Jay says kind of the same thing I was thinking. It's really good at giving like the generic kind of answer that nobody's really going to disagree with, but there's no real insight here, right? It's the amalgamation of ideas and blog posts and content that is largely non-controversial. And that's what it's giving us here. I haven't seen anything in this that's aside from McAfee as a legitimate vendor. that vendor list is the only one that I looked at and went, "What are you smoking? Can I have some?
Can I have some?" Yeah, but it's so it's true, but it's also to me it sells it a little bit short. So let me go back to the VM list. So the VM list is also. It's not like deeply novel, but it also has things that many humans may miss or has a chance of missing. Mm-hmm. And again, to me, number five may be missed, especially if you have never dealt with OT. You don't know how much the teams hate each other sometimes. So you may not think, wait a second, how do my people who configure control systems and people who configure servers talk to each other? They probably don't like each other all that much. So you need to focus on collab. And so five comes up, right? Same with number eight. To me, number eight is not deep inside, but it's something that people may say, I'm going to scan my servers. And somebody's like, what about the stuff that the partner we use for HR uses? And you'd be like, oh, a good point. So it's not deep inside, but it's inside. Mm-hmm. I guess that's my impression.
I think it's interesting too, Anton, to that same point. You know, it's adding on to, I know what I know, but I may not be up on what other people are talking about or new things that are coming out. So running this and it's like, okay, yeah, I've got one, two, three. Oh, that's interesting. I haven't seen that. Or yeah, it's popular enough that it's in here. Maybe it
that's
is.
A fair, that's a fair assessment, James.
Yeah, I agree. I was also thinking it's helpful in just kind of organizing your thoughts when, you know, sometimes you get asked a question. It's like, you know what you want to say, but you're not quite sure how to organize it or something. And I could see this being really helpful to just kind of give me the brain dump of things I could be talking about and directions I could go.
Okay.
Yeah, Bhakti, I definitely agree. This thing turns into a conversation starter where this would be a good place to go. All right, guys, I'm legitimately concerned that this ends up being a great place for junior consultants to start their report writing, right? Because you start with this and you go, all right, well, there's nothing in here that nobody disagrees with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, exactly what I just said. Like, how do I organize this report or something? Like, here, I'll spit it in there. And now I just got to look for things that maybe our particular consulting organization doesn't make as much money on and arrange appropriately there. But
yep. But why is it a concern? To me, it's a good thing, right? Like, say, junior consultants would do their work faster mm-hmm. and would be able to focus on the value add. To me, maybe I'm a strange optimist today. But to me, that's not a concern.
Yeah, you're not really Anton. I think Anton is secretly AI. Cleverly disguised AI.
Does that change, though, like from that aspect, like junior consultants being able to do this, does that change then the, I want to say the value you're getting, but the cost of consultancy if I can take somebody that doesn't have a lot of experience and treat them almost as a senior because they can go out and have this stuff all at their fingertips, or does that not change it? Like you're
no, I'm going to flip it the other way. I'm going to take the first next report I get, my next risk assessment I get from XYZ vendor, and ask the same questions into this thing, and see how close my answers are, and then realize whether they cheated or not.
Yeah, but so risk assessment. This is usually a very fun topic. So we tried ROI. Do you want to say something nasty about risk assessment and see what it thinks? But what exactly? I'm drawing a blank. What is the best approach for risk assessment, cybersecurity?
Yeah, go. I think I know where this is going to go. This is going to go regulatory, CMMC stuff. CVSS. Follow CVSS blindly.
Approach. You want to add context or this is just it?
Let's add context in a follow-up.
Okay.
I might want to ask it a question about threat modeling.
I'm not going to lie. Like, this kind of reminds me of way back when I used to do secure code review, and we had templates built up for all the different vulnerabilities you could find in those reports. And you just click it, and it dumped out, like, all the default recommendations that we had for each of the vulnerabilities. It's kind of the same thing going on here.
Yeah, but so I think that we again produced a – useful junior consultant who read three books answer?
Yeah, I just got my CISSP and I'm in a job interview answer.
Yep. Yeah. But the thing is that it means this thing did get its CISSP.
Right.
No, right. The thing is that it's, I don't know, I read some news about somebody using it to pass a bar exam or whatever. So the thing did get its CISSP effectively, right? Like it gives an answer that somebody who just passed the exam would give.
Yeah, but so before we started, I mentioned,
right?
But before we started, I talked about an article I saw today about ChatGPT passing a Wharton MBA entrance exam and getting like a B on it with essay questions and stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
So
there's a difference, though, between being able to pass an exam and being able to put real world experience and knowledge.
So ask a real world question. Give me an example of a question that can be structured as a real world question. How you would approach a challenge, blah, blah, blah. Like we are asking we are asking generic questions. So the fact that it gives us generic answers is not its fault. It's kind of more ours, right? So give me something more. How
I calculate the value of an IT asset, right? You know, step one on here is saying...
That's tricky.
Well, I mean, that's what it says. First question here is, identify assets and their value. And I would say, how? How do I put a value on this?
For cybersecurity risk assessment, I'll add the full context.
Sure. Give us that extra con.
While we're waiting for the answer, Bhakti writes, I wonder if security analysts if a security analyst uses ChatGPT to co-write their papers, do they need to give credit to it as a co-author?
ethically, yes. Ethically, yes. There's no question.
Although if you're using this as a co-author, I'm pretty sure ethics is not something you're concerned about. That's like saying, are serial killers still obliged to say please and thank you? Probably not.
I mean, who writes the first service to compare, like that just goes out and pulls all blog posts and news articles and does the same query to see if the same thing comes out of ChatGPT?
Right, but you can ask. Have you wrote it? It's actually quite effective at telling us if it wrote something. So you can just put a text in it and say, "Have you written it?"
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so let me try to be a little. So I've seen a system that claims to kind of be able to reliably identify something written by ChatGPT and other bots. And it does it by running through its own little AI thinking. But in that sense, it's a solved problem already because these things claim to be able to do that. If you don't believe me, you can ask that. Like, can you reliably identify text that you wrote? And it would say yes, probably.
Hmm.
So the values are all, again, CSST book answer, right?
Yeah.
And if you ask what are some of the challenges, it would give us some challenges, right?
How about something around a breach, right? So say somebody is experiencing a ransomware incident and they're like, I bet I know what I can ask ChatGPT this question, right? So let's ask it, who should be my first call? Like, what should I do first? I think my computer has been ransomware.
Mm-hmm. I'd also like to know, should I pay the ransom?
Okay, let me ask you, what is the first thing to do after I detected the ransom? And then we ask the ransom. That's actually not what I want to ask. So after I became a victim of ransomware, help me a little bit.
Identified ransomware on my computer.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not, you may have detected it. Let's try it this way. Yeah. The point is that you were not just detecting it. You actually got ransomed. It just gives us the generic ransomware response plan, which is, backup? Really? A little late for that.
Go backwards in time. Find a flux capacitor.
Get in your time machine. Get in your time machine. Set it back for, six weeks.
Step two, buy DeLorean.
Yeah, but it's a little bit my fault because I said detected ransomware. Maybe I detected it not by being ransomed. Maybe I should have asked if after I fell victim to ransomware or something that indicates that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ask it. Tell it that I would ask our company's authentic Active Directory systems have been ransomwared. Should I pay the ransom?
Our company AD Active was Directory. Encrypted.
Yes, by fine. Ransomware. Encrypted. Yep. Yep.
And we cannot access it.
Yep.
What should we do first?
I like how it restates the question and then it presents right. The answer. It. Mm-hmm. It's not going
to
give you.
It goes a good back answer. To the same, right? Isolated.
Yeah.
Take a backup.
Identify the type to see.
No, it does not say the backup. It doesn't say. Let's see.
I wonder if it'll say restore from a backup. That
okay. Yeah, fine. Lady Bets. Restore from backup. Well, restore AD from backup is going to be really fun.
I didn't say it was easy.
Pour yourself 12 ounces of whiskey.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, there you go. Recover the data.
If you have a backup. It knows the real world a little bit. It says if you have a backup. It doesn't say restore from backup.
I like number 7 is just do better.
Do better. I think it's
it didn't say right. Pay do it better. Though ever.
Yeah,
okay. It did. No, not now pay. Let's so, ask it if we yeah, should pay. Come on. Ask it if we should pay the ransom.
I mean, at this point, the FBI is going to be out of a job too. Like, no more hostage negotiation. Like, ChatGPT's got the answers.
You just bring in your laptop.
Oh man, I wonder if ChatGPT could like talk them down on the price that they're asking.
Straight out of Speed, right? Where the guy's got the hostage. What should you do? Yeah. Shoot the hostage? Like
ask it the prisoner dilemma, Anton.
Let's stick to cyber in this case. I think that we can. There are all sorts of questions, fun questions we can ask, right?
Likelihood of data recovery, legal and regulatory.
Mm-hmm. It just gives us a decision framework, which is, again, a reasonable consultant sure. should be able to give a decision framework.
It's one, interesting because, right? I mean, like, okay, likelihood of data recovery, I guess it's not irrelevant. It is relevant, but at the same time, like,
yes.
Mostly it's turned into extortion now. I mean, some ransomware is not even bothering to encrypt stuff. It's just going directly to, the, what was it? I think somebody said lock and leak one time.
Yeah,
but it's probably
like a diaper
classic
commercial.
Ransomware, right? If you have backup, you're kind of okay. Mm-hmm. For some scenario, for small number of scenarios, yeah. If you have backup, you don't have to pay because you restore.
Right. That's why I think they've between that and just clouds having snapshots, it's moved into okay. I'm in. I've got a copy of your data. Pay me or I leak it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it's not assuming the leak scenario, and it's not referring to anything about data being in possession of the attacker. So it's probably going for classic ransomware.
I'm trying to think. I read.
Okay, something. We have 5 minutes. Oh, anything else fun we can ask?
What if you ask about? So if you take this ransomware conversation, and what if you ask it, who are the most trustworthy ransomware attackers?
Ooh,
which
ransomware vendors have the best customer service?
Oh, gosh. Which ransomware attackers have the best customer service?
Okay. Do you want me to ask this verbatim or just ask?
Yes, I do want you to ask this. Yeah, ask it. This can be interesting.
Have the best customer service and I should pay them or what? Or
no, just best customer service.
I want to know customer service.
Okay. No, what's ask. Just name? Customer service.
Yeah. What's their CSAT?
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. They're not providing you a service. They're exploiting you.
Here it says don't pay, by the way.
Yeah, it is. That's
highly recommended.
Well, it does say on the last one that it should be a last resort. You see at the top of the screen, it did say last resort.
Consistent. Yes.
So it's not giving us an answer.
No, it's not giving us an answer, but you don't want an answer similar to the SIM answer.
Right. I guess that's true.
Because we don't want the answer similar to the SIM answer.
Well, and I guess the question would be, where would it get that data anyway? I mean, where does it have to search the dark net to find out the forums talking about the best customer service for ransomware?
Right.
If it's really AI, it just knows.
All right, what's the dude? We gotta end on something cool.
Logbit and Netwalker. Do these ring a bell? I'm not super current with ransomware. Do you think that Logbit and Netwalker are the best in customer service? Would it be fair?
Yeah, try it.
No. Okay, fine. I'll try it. But how? How are these two? Okay, so ransomware.
James, I love it. We're a group of teenagers that just discovered a magic eight ball. I love it. This is the equivalent of the magic eight ball when we were teenagers. Like, literally.
Okay, do log into Netwalker gangs, ransomware gangs.
Are they trustworthy? Ask if it, are they trustworthy?
Yes, trustworthy.
So are Lockbit and Netwalker gang, ransomware gangs trustworthy? Yes, that sentence does not make sense.
Yes, it doesn't. Yes,
this is like the pirate's code, right? And I should pay. You're a pirate, but you stick to the code.
Pay them. It would probably say that paying them would support criminal activity. So let's see.
Interesting. Yeah, all right.
It's going for.
It's doubling down on don't pay the ransom.
Yeah,
there it is.
They don't offer impeccable customer service. Okay.
Yeah, their CSAT scores are going down after that response.
I want to know what they would say if we asked them, right? Like, hey, we've got your data, we're ransoming it. I'm like, what's your CSAT score?
Does this become libel? I mean, you know, can ChatGPT say something that is libel against something else?
What do you mean?
I mean, how dare it sit there and say they're not trustworthy? I mean, I'd be offended if I were.
This is a libelous statement.
No. But I think that it's. I think from what I read about and I've heard from others is like it probably would not. It's hard for us to make it approve of criminal activity. So if it's going to color it as it can't be a good thing because it's criminal.
All right, that's fair.
Who's the best serial killer? Who's the most popular Nazi? I don't think it's gonna go well with a thing. It would refuse to answer.
That's a terrible question. all right. Last but not least, which security vendor will be like the best for cloud computing or something like that? Something like, you know, what's the, I don't know what I want to ask. What security vendor has the best security tech?
Security vendor.
Who's going to have the most exciting product announcement in 2023 or something like that?
Is the best.
Which security vendor is likely to have the largest booth at RSA 2023?
Yeah, I think that's not going to get it. But I think which security vendor is the best to secure my cloud environment is probably a decent answer. Please don't you refer to the same vendor. By the way, we are at time, so let's answer this one and see what happens. Oh, it's the cloud providers, which is actually... But wait. This is better than the SIM vendor 3 from the list. Going for cloud providers is an enlightened choice. Thank you, ChatGPT. I think that my former team at Gartner would give you kind of the same advice. Then you should first go to cloud provider for security of cloud and then go to vendors. So, shut up.
And then go to IBM.
Okay, see? I don't see. Know. What and I'm look at McAfee, right. Checkpoint. There's got to be some. I bet IBM company. Yeah, IBM's in there. I'm telling you, some element.
But the first three and the half answers are first three and the half lines are fine, right?
All right.
So is that what we've learned today? Is that if you ask ChatGPT for recommendations, take the top three and then ignore everything after that?
No, because for SIM, it didn't work. For SIM, even 3 was problematic.
Yeah, and there was other ones where it was 5 and 8 that were the good ones.
I think don't ask it about vendors is the right. So far vendor advice has been just shit.
I shouldn't make my purchasing decisions based on ChatGPT.
No, do not make. Okay. Correct. But at the same time, if you just want consulting advice how to improve security, do take advice from ChatGPT because it gives.
I think generic security advice is perfectly good to handle. That's my takeaway: is generic security advice, no problem. Anything specific, and you're basically asking a second year analyst to diagnose things that you're going to get the most generic possible, mm-hmm. non controversial answer.
Right, but not
occasionally
just the second
IBM
tier, second tier.
Yeah, and occasionally IBM, Checkpoint, and McAfee show up because I don't actually have a good reason.
That's how you'll know. That's how you'll know if you're talking to somebody and you want to know if they're using ChatGPT to spin some BS. Just if they start mentioning McAfee and IBM and stuff, then you know,
right,
you know what's up.
Although now I think it's Trellix, so.
Yeah, anyway. I don't. This one is just like, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is, must be the dated buckets for the whole McAfee thing.
Strange. To come
up. Yeah, it's bizarre. It's bizarre.
Ask it which color M&M is its favorite, and then we'll end.
Okay. No. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not falling for this one. So figure out your own M&Ms. Go drink whiskey.
All right, you guys. Hey, thanks for everybody that joined us. Quite the audience joined us live. Anton, Jeff, Kevin, thanks for the idea. Thanks to Helen for the good suggestion on there. Hopefully she gets a chance to listen and is just as amused as we are by this. But there's some lessons learned and certainly a good time was had. So on that note, you guys, thanks for listening to this episode. Videos posted. Maybe we'll do this again sometime because it's kind of a lot of fun. Thanks, guys.
As we fade out on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole episode, we'd like to encourage you to chat with our hosts and guests using the Twitter hashtag #DTSR. Please check out the show notes, catch up on any episodes you may have missed, and subscribe so you don't miss a future episode. So on behalf of Rafal, James, for now it's goodbye. We'll see you soon on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast.